Canva presents stories to keep you up at night. It was an ordinary work day until...
The Singapore presentation is at
3 a.m.
The office was shocked.
That's when we sleep.
Maya made it less scary with Canva.
I'll just record my presentation so Singapore can watch it anytime.
Record and present anytime with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
Has the job hunt worn you down? Application after application and radio silence. I know why you're here, and I can help you get there. A job offer, a job faster. You can now book me for $2 a minute for 30, 45, 60, or 90 minutes for a video chat interview preparation session. Don't need 45 minutes? Don't pay for it. Want to do 30 minutes now and maybe 30 minutes later once you progress? Let's do it. If you aren't getting responses to your application, we'll meet and rework your resume to get noticed. If you aren't passing job interviews, we'll work through a mock interview so you can put your best foot forward with winning responses that make a difference. I'm here to consult with you if you're in a unique situation and want input from someone that has seen it all and can help you succeed like I have so many others. It's super simple. You just go to jobinterviewexperience.com and click the $2 minute coaching button at the top of the page, select the amount of time you want to meet, and then you can look through my availability without having to pay. Pick a time and pay $2 a minute for 100% of my attention. Check out the testimonials while you're there from listeners to this podcast that I've worked with in just the last couple of weeks. It's blocked into 30, 45, 60 minutes and more, so we won't go over. You won't get charged any more than what you pay for at checkout. Remember that the faster you invest in yourself, the faster you land that dream job. Go to jobinterviewexperience.com or follow the link in this episode's description. I'm excited to meet with you, help identify what's holding you back, and help you take control of your career today. Shahrukh Zaheer, CEO at Right Fit Advisors, brings a wealth of experience from various industries, including wireless and retail, to the world of recruiting. With an entrepreneurial mindset and a successful recruiter's approach, he excels in delivering growth-oriented outcomes tailored to each client's unique needs. Passionate about impacting organizations, particularly in the tech sector, by connecting individuals with high-income opportunities, his background enriches his work, especially in supporting startups and tech companies in Atlanta's dynamic market. Outside of work, he enjoys hiking, traveling, and exploring new food establishments. Today, we're going to discuss what companies don't understand about what modern professionals are looking for in jobs, a better way to get to know future employees, and how to secure interviews and job offers. Shahrukh, welcome to the Job Interview Experience.
Matthew, thanks for having me.
To get started, can you give us a brief overview of your career and what's led you to where you are today?
Yeah, I had a very non-traditional trajectory as a career. I was 17 years old when I started my first business, and as an entrepreneur, I was selling stuff and accessories in the mall and in different vestibule malls around San Diego. And then from there, I transitioned into a wireless industry and started my own Verizon wireless kiosk back then, which I scaled to the point when I was 24 years old that we had up to 45 employees in different locations. And that did really well. And at that point, I decided that, hey, you know what, I'm doing really well and I can continue to just go this route, but I still wanted to go back to school and get my degree. So I decided to sell my business and get into school. So I attended San Diego State at that time and got my degree. And after I transitioned from there, I jumped back into the corporate world. And at that point, I was like, huh, maybe I'll be a CEO of AT&T or Verizon Wireless one day. And that's what I wanted to do. And I was working my way up through the channels, and quickly I moved to an executive position there. But at one point, I decided that retail and wireless was not something I wanted to do because it wasn't fulfilling for me. And though I was leading a team of 50, 60, that's 1.70 employees across a region, I wasn't really happy with what I was doing. And at that time, I stumbled upon recruiting, which was at that time, now sounds like a cliche, a fulfilling position because it actually helped people find jobs and you'd help them at their at the time when they need the most help, and you're their agent, you're their representative, and make sure that they're making the best decisions for themselves, for their career, to provide their family. And it resonated to what I wanted to do next, and did that successfully, worked through different employers and led teams organizations, trained a lot of organizations. And from there, eventually I decided to start and kick things off and put my entrepreneur hat back on and start my own company again. So here we are. We gave birth to RightFit Advisors July of last year, 2023. So we are 6 months in business.
What's interesting about you is, unlike me, I've been in the recruiting industry 99% of my career. You've been on both sides, which I think gives you access and insight to hiring a lot of people for the corporate needs, not just from the recruiting side. What, from what you've seen and what you understand today, what don't companies understand about the modern professional and what they're looking for in a job?
I love the term they use, Matthew, modern professional, because I actually use that term too. A modern professional is a completely different person, and it means different than what it did even 6 years ago or 5 years ago. The way the society, the upbringing, the pandemic, the remote life, the accessibility of technology has changed the way people like to work and operate and how they like to be treated and communicated. And I think it's extremely important for organizations to evolve through that. One of the things that I noticed that was changing and changed for a brief moment, and then the world is now trying to go back to, is that moving from remote to now the hybrid or on-site models. And I think that the newer professional does not want to, the modern professional does not really care about coming on site 5 days a week. In fact, and unless there is any value provided to them, which is a sense of mentorship, training, or any kind of development opportunity, they really don't see the purpose of coming on site. So the newer organizations need to understand that the way you want to now upskill and develop modern professional is completely different than how they did 5 to 6 years ago. And they have to figure out a way to adopt that change.
So everybody's different. To me, working remote would be top priority. I think over the last decade, you've seen a lot of people say, when you're at work, you're at work. I'd say pre-pandemic, when you're at work, you're at work. When you're not, I hear people say, I don't check my email. Do you think that people feel there's a trade-off as when they work remote? Have you seen people more open to taking a quick phone call from a colleague or a manager at 8 p.m. or getting on email? Do you think that some of that priority has changed to, so if people are more open to work maybe a little bit before hours, after hours, but they also don't have to commute? They don't have that extra 30 minutes to an hour of just time in the on the train or in the car. Have you seen that from what you've observed?
You make a good point. And yes, I have. Remote, the concept of work and life balance changed, and it became more of a flexible environment, is what I call it, which is essentially just having the flexibility to be able to take personal calls, but then having the flexibility to also be able to take work calls. And with now individuals being present at home to be able to be there for their kids, their pets and their family members and their parents to take care of their dependents, it allowed those folks, families, to also be more prone and susceptible to be okay with allowing their partners to take work calls during lunchtime or dinner times, because they understand that there is that flexibility that this person is present at home with us right now. So it's okay that if they're doing such a thing. Now, of course, I still want to say that the caveat that you don't want to do that all the time and that shouldn't be a pattern. But if it happens, more your partner would be more susceptible to it and they will allow it rather, is because they think that it's just a privilege and that they even get to be at home and have dinner and lunches with the loved ones.
Yeah. In my experience in life, there's always a trade-off. And I think 100% remote is not ever going to be completely perfect. And the other thing we're discovering with this is, at least in the US, we have a couple time zones. And there's the joy of remote work. But then if you're on the East Coast and you have a coworker on the West Coast, that you also, I think, have to have some flexibility there, which might be a downside, but also it can be an upside, because maybe if you're on the East Coast, you don't have to start work quite as early, or you can start early. So it's interesting to see how that is evolving, especially from the employee side, and seeing what they like and don't like about it. But also it seems to be there's some buffer before normal work hours and after work hours that people just have to be willing to take calls and interact. What do you think is a better way to get to know future employees from an employer, especially if it's a remote interview? How do you get to know them these days with kind of how things have changed? And then how do you create an environment that they're attracted to?
Yeah, I think that learning about their interests are one thing, but learning where they spend the most time contributing is really important. And what I mean by that is, what are they doing to impact others around them in their community? Do they like to be involved in their churches, or do they like to be involved in their community building, soccer games, or things along those lines, whatever events those are? It actually gives you a really good insight of an individual's strengths and weaknesses and their interests. And it allows you to understand that what kind of a person somebody is, because some people enjoy playing volleyball or going bowling, and you just understand that they like to do that for fun or with their community. And others would like to just volunteer on weekends, and that's what they like to take pride in, and that's what they like to do to impact others. So one of the questions to ask is, how do you impact others around you and in your community? Is a good add-on question that I advise a lot of hiring managers to add in their interview process, because it allows them to get an insight of who somebody is and what kind of gets their fluid going besides their interest and hobbies.
That's a really good question. It's one I wish I would have asked more back when I was doing more recruiting and hiring. And I think it can be humbling in a way, and maybe make people consider how much they focus on themselves and maybe their own career and life versus helping those around them. And impacting is a good word too. Instead of helping, how have you volunteered, things like that, impacting opens up insight into what they think is helpful too. Yeah. Is impacting hanging out with your friends and talking about sports, or is impacting actually volunteering or helping, or maybe driving change at a community level, organizing, things like that? I like that a lot. And for listeners hearing that question, hopefully that makes you nervous a little bit too, or maybe it brings up some pride in some things that you have done or currently do that you would be proud to answer with that question. But if not, I would think about ways, especially as you grow in your career. I think you should be joining councils or committees or boards or volunteering at something that can be something that you're deeply interested in. But as you meet good hiring managers and companies that are hiring positions that are highly competitive, you're going to run into people who are giving of themselves and giving back. And it's a differentiator to me. And it sounds like it is to you too.
Yeah, man. I mean, when you're building teams or you're looking to build teams, Matthew, you want to hire good people. You want to hire, not that people are not good if they're not involved in anything, but this gives them an upper hand and gives them just stand out in comparison. I've had people say that, oh, I'd like to donate blood. And that's how they're impacting. And then it's an absolutely normal way to impact. And some people just say that, hey, well, we just go hand out food around the county or community. And that's totally justified too. Or some people just like to coach in different kind of verticals and spaces. So to each their own, again, belief and impact means different things to different people. And whatever that means to you, you should just be doing that for people around you. So that's all I got to say.
From pit lane to podium, the Las Vegas Grand Prix is providing fans a race day experience at the speed they deserve. With the help of T-Mobile for Business, our 5G advanced network solutions are powering race day operations with event-wide connectivity. From streamlined gate entry to an immersive app, giving fans blazing fast access to the sport they love. This is accelerating innovation. This is the Las Vegas Grand Prix with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Hi, I'm Ben. I suffer from a condition called writer's block. It strikes when I'm at work. That's why I choose Canva Magic Write. It works fast, generating texts in seconds, thanks to AI.
Common side effects include increased productivity, compliments from coworkers, feelings of satisfaction.
Now I can say bye-bye to writer's block.
Ask your boss if Canva Magic Write is right for you at canva.com, designed for work.
How has what job seekers want out of their careers changed? And I'll ask two parts of that. What is it today? And then what do you think it'll be 10, 15 years down the road?
I think that job seekers change, needs change through their, through individuals' life. Earlier you made a point on somebody working in East Coast versus West Coast would prefer that because they want to start work late. And in some instances, people do prefer that, Matthew, because they want to drop their kid to the school in the morning before to start their, take their first meeting, right? So those are the kind of instances and things that could happen and people would like to do. So you just have to always remember that as you go through life and life happens to you and different milestones happen to you where you get married and then you have kids, you have your first pet and you want to spend time at home a little bit more. You want to be home at a certain time. And based on those, your requirements for what you're looking for at work changes. There used to be a concept of going into work at 9 a.m. and clocking out at 5 o'clock and going home. That concept has become more obsolete now. And now people rely on flexibility and people want to like to hire individuals that can do a task and a job, but also employers are now prefer giving flexibility to having allowing individuals to do it at their own time. So what this means is that employees want that flexibility everywhere because not everybody does that, but that any traditional 9-to-5 concept, those things are not going to last too long. And for any employer that is still hoping that model would work for them, I think that they just need to adapt the change that's going to happen now or later of just providing flexibility and certainly set timelines on when a ticket or like a task needs to be completed, but just rely and depend on people to know that they're going to deliver. So that flexibility is really important these days.
Can you tell us a little bit more about what you do at Right Fit Advisors?
Yeah, so I am the CEO of Right Fit Advisors. We are a technical staffing firm. Right Fit Advisors is actually the first artificial intelligence machine learning recruiting firm in the U.S. We have our own patent that exclusively serves us to identify across the board for any specific niche within the technical space. So we usually support early stage startups to mid-sized companies that are looking to hire quickly. We guarantee that we would help you find talent in 2 weeks or less. What's different about our model is we specialize in having all of our clients take these EQ assessments. And then we also ask our candidates to take these summer assessments, which allows us to really understand people's personalities and their drives and their motivations and ethos so that when we're matching people and placing them in organizations, we're truly matching intuitions and personalities, not really to make it a locker room sort of environment, but personalities that complement each other so that it becomes this unstoppable force of a team that overall results to increase in productivity, retention, and just a diverse culture.
What's interesting about Right Fit Advisors is I know the search firm industry pretty well. I had my own for about 4 years. And a search firm or recruiting firm with IP is very rare. Typically, for listeners, a recruiting firm the value of their firm is really just based off their current client list. And I mean, no offense by that. That was the same for my business. But building IP into that with your patent that you have, that's really brilliant. Did you start with that idea in mind, or did that kind of come to you as technology evolved?
As technology evolved, I wanted to be a recruiting firm. I knew that I wanted to be one, but I wanted to be a different one. And when I sat down of all the things that I knew that I wanted to do differently and starting to solve those problems, I'm like, well, I'm now recognizing nobody else is doing that. So it was a half joke that, you know, I sat with my CTO and he was like, sure, you want to run a patent on this? And I was like, let's do it. And we did a patent search and we came back as nobody else had the concept. It was like, all right, we're doing this. And that's how it turned out to be. And so far, it's been a blessing because it is not only showing us the results we're looking for, but now we have the analytics that shows that, a proven analytics that is, it's increasing productivity. Of course, we're only in the business for so long that we can't really laugh for retention, but our goal is that by the end of next year, this time, that we'll have enough analytics that will also show the retention rate and just overall growth in organizations. And that's really what we want to do. And I feel like if you really love going to work every day, which I do, and I'm sure Matthew, you do too, then, you know, it's not a job, right? So the whole cliche is that we just want to make sure that's how people feel when they go to work through Rightfit Advisors.
When they make a movie about your firm someday, the tagline will be, ha ha, let's do it, right? Do you mind my asking which personality tests you use? Is it the same style for the employer and the employee? I'm DISC certified. I was a huge fan of using that when hiring, so I'm just curious what you used.
No. So and we actually acquired a clinical studies that was done for 40 years that we have a proprietary license for that we actually input in our machine learning system. So what it does is that as we engage with folks with the information it has gathered, it continuously allows us to result into identifying them and what kind of personalities they are. So it is already niche product. It's not a standardized like Brick Myers or things, DISCs along those lines, but it has a similar kind of validity to it.
You called yourself a tech recruiting firm. Is it just like developers, software engineers, or do you branch out from there at all?
So we do all things technology companies, rather. So if you want to hire even business folks, logistics folks, we actually support in those as well. And that's because of our system or our ETS that we have built in-house allows, it's attached to everything from ZipRecruiter to LinkedIn to GitHub to Glassdoor. So when we are doing the researches, we are actually yielding into those databases to find talent. So we're able to find all different types of talent.
Let me ask you this. If you were in charge of all hiring, all culture, at a, so say a Fortune 50 or a Fortune 500 company, which maybe you're going to, maybe Rightfit Advisors will be this down the road, but what would you do to help make your workforce or workplace welcoming and attractive to potential employees?
I think that freedom to practice the kind of motives and the missions that they believe in is really important. So one of the things Rightfit Advisors already does is that, and we do it at a smaller scale right now to make impact, is that every single time we place somebody, we ask them that if they're okay with us planting a tree on their behalf, and we give them four different regions in the country where they are able to do that, and they get to pick where they want to do it, and we do it for them. But as we grow as an organization, we want to empower our employees to figure out what are their missions that they believe in, and then help them promote those chapters and advocate on their behalf and just promote. And I think that's relevant. Us as a business, we want to make sure one thing that stays true to Rightfit Advisors is the concept of making an impact on individuals' lives. And that goes beyond just finding people jobs. If that is in community locally there that somebody needs help, we want to do that for them. And we are on the horizon to make that as a next chapter for us as an organization to leap into that more full time.
What do you think job seekers can do to humbly enter their interview while at the same time communicating exactly what they're looking for to an employer?
I think that I know that there's this whole stigma of hiring is interviewing is like dating, and you want to be mysterious, but you also want to be yourself. I think that being yourself can just, I can't stress enough about it. It's just like being really honest and real is really important, because though as easy as it is to manage different kind of personalities and having the ability to work with different kind of personalities, I think that if you're just truly yourself, then you don't have to try to worry about that, because then you get to, people know who you are, people know what you're getting, they're getting themselves into, and they truly can either connect with you or not. But in most cases, they do, because people like genuine people. People like individuals that have flaws and that have gone through growth through failures. And I think that it is important to cherish those things. So just be yourself and share the things that you're bad at and you're working towards, versus exclusively highlighting everything that you're great at.
With layoffs that I'm sure you've seen at large companies across the country in the last year or two, and maybe more on the horizon, I know job applications are getting more applicants than ever. And one of the things that listeners, I think they're one of their biggest concerns or struggles is just getting the first interview. Do you have any advice for job seekers that are troubled? They know they have the talent, they know they align well with the job, but they're just not getting a response to their application. Do you have any advice for folks that are dealing with that?
Absolutely. Going back to basics is what I tell a lot of folks. And by that, I mean two things. Cover letters work. So definitely add those, because in a pile of individuals, what helps you stand out will allow you to stand out. So in the world, others are not doing that. Do something along those lines. So write it, craft a cover letter, and AI, leverage AI as much as you can. And easiest thing you could do is that if you have a copy of a cover letter in your resume, definitely throw that on ChatGPT and on Bard or whatever you use, and ask them to just tweak it based on the job description, tweak your cover letters just so that you have some foundational. And definitely don't just take that as the copy to submit, edit it, tweak it, make it yourself, make that tone be your tone and not an artificial intelligence tone, but definitely leverage that to do that. I know it would be demotivating 3 years, 4 years from today when you actually have to sit down and rewrite every single one of those cover letters yourself. But right now you can automate it as much so that you're really just spending 4 or 5 to 7 minutes each cover letter, but definitely leverage that so that you're highlighting, you're only almost exclusively highlighting the things in your experience that you have done that directly apply for the job. And one of the things I always tell people is it's great to tell people your achievements, but it's almost better to exclusively talk about the things that directly impacts the job. So if you can just align that, it will allow you to stand out.
Fantastic. Do you have any parting words of wisdom or motivation for listeners as we come to a close?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. It's tough out there, folks. I know that, and it's not easy. I always, me as an entrepreneur and everything in life that I've done, I always go with this mindset of it's only a setback until you stop trying, and then it's a failure. So though you have applied hundreds of times for jobs or 200 times and you're still moving forward, keep going, keep moving forward. These are just setbacks. And trust me, once you're going to land that job, you're going to be that much happier and it will be that much more worth it. So just keep moving forward. Don't doubt yourself. And it's only a setback. It's only a failure if you stop. Until then, these are just setbacks that are happening in life. So keep moving forward.
Shurik, thank you for coming on, sharing about your incredibly interesting firm. And we'll look forward to staying in touch with you and hearing updates over the years if you'll come back and keep telling us about the interesting things you're doing. Thanks for sharing your insight with our listeners. Very much appreciated.
Absolutely, Matthew. It was a pleasure having me here, and I'll see you soon.
From pit lane to podium, the Las Vegas Grand Prix is providing fans a race day experience at the speed they deserve. With the help of T-Mobile for Business, our 5G advanced network solutions are powering race day operations with event-wide connectivity. From streamlined gate entry to an immersive app, giving fans blazing fast access to the sport they love. This is accelerating innovation. This is the Las Vegas Grand Prix with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.